So just maybe picking up from where we left last week, Colossians 1, we're on Colossians 2 this morning. And in a nutshell, Colossians 1, Paul is talking to a group in Colossae, the Colossians. And this group of people in Colossae, this town was on a trade route that was very popular, with all sorts of traders coming in and out from all sorts of places. But with these kind of traders coming in and out, all sorts of influence, beliefs, philosophies, thinking also found its way in the midst of this church, this group of people. And Paul's message, in a nutshell, was basically saying, God is not far, He is close. You don't need all these other philosophies and traditions and all these other things. He is enough. He's all sufficient. And in Colossians 1, he's going through this beautiful this letter that he's writing to the Colossians and those around, saying, listen, he is not far and he is enough. Please come back to him. And he goes on in Colossians 2 with the same message basically, but just digs a little bit deeper. And as I read it like, I don't know how many times I read it. And every time I read it, it was just more and more and more richness. So I really want to encourage you, please go chew through it. Go home, read it over, read it again. Go in your cell groups, go through it, discuss it with one another. Because as I went through it, it was so difficult to say, yo, how do I bring Colossians 2 to you? Because there's so much. And there's only so little time. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to just give a brief overview on Colossians 2. And then I'm just going to focus on one section that I believe is for us at the moment who is sitting here. And I believe it's on God's heart also. And so an overview of Colossians is Paul is addressing the Colossians, but as well as the people surrounding the Colossians. And he's got this desire or this struggle. And he's saying, I've got this urge. And first, before he goes on to write his letter, he tells them the goal. He says, this is what I want to achieve as I'm writing. This is what I want to see happening as a result of what I'm writing. And that is that people would be rooted in Christ. Think of a tree rooted, deep. Built up, not only rooted, but built up. That they would be certain, that they would know that they know as a congregation or as a people of God, that they would be certain in the midst of a lot of philosophies, in the midst of a lot of influences and traders that came in and out. So that was his goal. He was saying, listen guys, you're in a dangerous place. And there was a warning about all these philosophies and all these beliefs that was finding its way in the midst of the congregation. He again repeats what he said in Colossians 1, that Christ is sufficient, is enough, not God plus. He also addresses all the traditions that they grew up with and were just doing church and doing as a result of the way that they grew up. And he said, there is so much more. There is freedom in Christ. And he talks about this transformation. And he talks about it as circumcision. This reborn moment, this circumcision, the old life being cut off, where the new life bears fruit. It talks about being reborn and receiving the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, he says, as a result of that, and as a result of this letter, and as a result of being united as a body, because of this letter, because of the Word of God, if you guys respond to what I'm writing, which we know now as the Bible, the book of Colossians, if you guys see this and be encouraged in your heart and believe it and allow it to transform you, you will be united in love and you will understand this incredible mystery of God, which He calls Jesus Christ. And it is a mystery. And we're going to dig into a little bit of that mystery today. But then he says at the end, as a result of this, Church of Colossae, the Colossians, he says, as a result of this, you will overcome dark powers. You will be able to walk out there in the midst of a trader's town with so much wind and waves, so much influence, so much what if, so much, and you will be certain. And you will be a people of God that overcomes the darkness out there. And so it's a beautiful book, and it's really relevant. And if you're wondering, but yeah, traders, we serious, there's a lot of... My friends, we are in the biggest trading season at the moment. We are got the world's most influences, philosophies, beliefs at the palm of our hands. There's a lot of trading going on in our sphere, where there's a lot of influence that can find its way within our congregation, within my family, within my children. And so is this relevant for us, this book? Very. We're a trader's town in the palm of our hands. And so may we listen very carefully to what Paul is saying. And may we hear what Christ's heart is in the midst of that. But I'm going to focus on Colossians 2, from 2 to 7. Just a short passage. And if you've got your Bible, please turn to it. I have got it in the front here. Didi, can you put it up there? But please take your Bible out or a pen and highlight a couple of things that stands out to you. And take that home and chew through it and pray through it again. Wake up tomorrow morning and do the same. And go to cell and bring it out again. And this is what we call meditate on God's Word. This is what meditation is. Is we just don't hear it once off and ons is nou klaar. Let's chew through it. Let's meditate on it. Let's hear what Paul is saying. Knowing that Christ, God, the one who loves us, wanted to say something to his church that was very, very important. May we take it seriously. Let's read. My purpose, and this is Paul talking to them, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent, he was busy writing to them, so he wasn't there in front of them. Although I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. So then, just as you received him, Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now, I'm going to go back and I'm going to just touch on a few things that was highlighted to me. And hopefully it will make sense to us what God is trying to say to his church. And so just go beginning from the beginning there again, Didi, and I'm going to highlight one or two things. And Paul is talking about two incredibly crucial keys here. And with these two keys, it says, as a result of you having these keys, you will understand a mystery of God. Now, at times, I don't know about you, and I'm sure it was for the Colossians as well, at times they felt that God was far and not enough. And at times I feel so too. And it's a mystery. How can it be so? How can God, this almighty God who is ever-present, omnipresent, all-knowing, feel at times so far and not enough that I have to seek all the other desires and philosophies and beliefs and understanding? And he's saying there's two keys here, and these two keys are crucial to understanding this mystery. And so if we are in a place of not understanding this mystery, then we know that maybe one or two or both of these keys are possibly missing. And these two keys is to be encouraged in your heart. My purpose is that you may be encouraged in your heart. And here's the second one, united in love. And then these small little words are so crucial, so that It's very important, those two words. So if you are encouraged in your heart and united in love with the body of Christ, there will be a result. There will be something that happens so that you may have the full riches or the full understanding of this mystery of God, which is Jesus Christ. And it is a mystery. And sometimes I can't fully grasp it. This Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came down to make a way for me and you to be in a relationship with our Creator. This is a mystery. This is sometimes above my understanding. I can't fully grasp it. But he says, if you are encouraged in your heart and united in love, you will grasp something of it. And something happens when we are encouraged in heart and united in love. The Spirit can have his way. We are really in a position as a body of Christ where as members we can function. Where as members, the head can have his way. And he can reveal this beautiful mystery, which Paul talks about here, is namely Christ. He says, this is the mystery, friends. It is Jesus. It is what he came to do. It is who he is. And what he enables is what he desires. And this is a mystery in this world. You go ask someone far from God and you tell them there was this guy that came down from God and you tell them the whole story. They're going to think, waar val jy nou uit, broer? It is at times a mystery. And for the Colossians, it was too. Because they were in a position where they were feeling that this God is far. And it's not enough. And Paul came to encourage them in their heart. And he said, basically, when you are encouraged, and I want to give emphasis here, what he was about to write in the book of Colossians, and specifically 2, what he was about to write was to encourage them. What he wrote, what we see now, is the Bible. And he says, if you would take this, and chew through this and take it as you would be encouraged in heart. And if we all had to do it, we would be united in love. And when we do those two things, we will understand the mystery, which is Christ. Something will break open to us. He goes on to say, go back quickly, Didi. Oh no, you can go to the next one, I apologize. And then he's saying, okay, so once you get some sort of understanding of this mystery who is Jesus Christ, in him, in Jesus, and it talks throughout Colossians actually about being in him. He is sufficient. All that you need is to be in him, with him, and in him there are these hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So think of it as a treasure chest. In this treasure chest, there is treasure, and it is valuable. And it is in Christ that we get this wisdom and knowledge. And the Colossians, they were desiring wisdom and knowledge. And they were starting to seek it from all the other influences around them, the traders. The philosophies, the beliefs, the what-ifs, the maybes. And Paul was saying to the Colossians, be very careful. Because I know that you desire this wisdom and knowledge to live life. We all do. But here, between the traders, you will not find it. There will be lots of it, but it will be empty. And where it is hidden is in the mystery, who is Jesus Christ. In him is hidden this wisdom and this knowledge. He is enough, group of Colossians, Church of God. And Paul obviously identified this and he saw it in this group, but I think Paul also saw this pattern from the very beginning, where Eve also desired knowledge and took it into her own hands. And got influenced by outside and not the mystery of God, which is Jesus Christ. And so that pattern from Eve all the way where we to find the Colossians and afterwards and today, there's this pattern that we as people desire wisdom and knowledge. And for some other reason, we seek it outside the treasure chest of Jesus Christ. And he's saying as a result of that, Colossians, there will be destruction. Be careful. There was always. Look throughout the ages when people desired wisdom and knowledge and they took it into their own hands, the Tower of Babel. And I can go on with the list. And this pattern has been there from the very beginning. And it makes sense because we as people, we desire wisdom and knowledge to live life. We need it. There's so many questions that I wrote down here. How do I live my life? What should I study? What car should I buy? How should I manage my finances? How should I answer my children with difficult questions? Who is going to be my wife or my husband one day? And so the list of hows and what ifs and what should I goes on. And it was for the Colossians too. They had questions. And they needed wisdom and knowledge so that they would know how to live. The do part of what Albie is saying. How do I do this? And for some other reason, this influence from outside came in. And Paul said, be careful. Please be very careful. Be very careful. All this wisdom that you need for every single decision in your life, with your children, with your spouse, with your families, with your business, wherever you find yourself, all the wisdom and the knowledge that you need is found in Christ. In a relationship with Him and being reborn, as He mentioned later, He said, you need to be circumcised from your old life and be reborn. Repent from your old life. Find yourself in a place where you are in a position where you can receive His Spirit and be transformed. New life. This is what it is to be in Him. His Spirit within us, in a relationship with Him. This is what it means to be in Him. Let the old be cut off, he says. And then he goes on to say, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you in fine sounding arguments. I'm not sure if you've seen YouTube these days with all these debates and all these things going on with beautiful fine sounding arguments and stuff. And all the philosophies and all the other religions and all the other beliefs and all the other traditions. There's a lot. And he's saying to this group, he's saying, friends, if you have this wisdom and knowledge as a result of the understanding, if you have this wisdom and knowledge, no one will be able to mislead you. There's a sureness, there's a certainty. I hear God's heart in here where He's saying, I want you to know. I want you to be sure. Even in the midst of a very crazy world with lots of influence and lots of ideas and lots of beliefs, I want you to know. I want you to be sure. I don't want you to be tossed with the waves and this wind of this world. If you ask me personally, there's often times where I'm uncertain, and I think that's okay. I don't want to bring any condemnation, but there is something in you that you will be sure when the philosophies or beliefs or probably this teaching or that teaching or false teaching or whatever, if it comes your way, you will be sure that this is from God and this is not from God. And this is what God's heart is for His children. We need to be sure. Carry on there. For though I'm absent, I'm present with you in spirit and delight to see you orderly, delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. And so he's got this beautiful desire. And this is our desire, my desire, is to gather together and to see, joh, maar dit gaan nog als goed met Rian. Joh, his faith is growing. And so we're a family. I desire that for my children and I desire that for you guys. And this was Paul's desire for the Colossians and those around. Carry on. So then, just as you receive Jesus as Lord, continue. Here's one of those words again. Continue to live, how? As he said in the beginning, in him. And so just if it's, I didn't really prepare this, but if it's just for a moment, maybe we can just close our eyes, just for a moment. And go back to the day where you met God. Where you realized there was a God and he cared about you. As Christoph mentioned also in his testimony. Go back to that day. Where was this beautiful revelation that God loves you. Reborn. New life. Years have gone by, possibly, and going with emotion has become the reality. Just as the Colossians, with traditions and doing things out of just doing it. I just want to pray for us for this specific thing. Because if I remember correctly, when I was reborn, I was full of zeal, full of passion, ready to testify. And somewhere along the line, I became just going with emotion. And so, Lord, please restore and help us with this beautiful passion when we first met you, when we received you in the beginning, Lord Jesus. And just as we received you, help us to now, in this day and age, to continue to know that you're enough. As I received you so many years ago, Lord, I realized that I was at my end and all that I needed was you. You were all sufficient. You were enough. And so I pray for us as a congregation that this would be a reality today. That we would continue. That we would continue running this race with our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, this mystery. Amen. And so I want to finish off here. And before we go to that, I really want to encourage you and I want to ask you to chew through this alone in your quiet time. Discuss it in your cell groups. How does that continue look for you? Are you continuing? Are you making an intentional effort? However that may look. I think a few of us shared it this morning at the back. How should I continue? And I want to take all the pressure off you and say, well, God has got knowledge and wisdom for you to continue. He says it. And so reach out, seek him, saying, I know that you are all sufficient, God. How do I, as an individual, continue to live in him? So it starts, you need to be in him, then there's this treasure, and then you need to continue. But do you see that it's always just coming back to Christ? And this is this beautiful mystery. It's all about him. It was always about him. It's always going to be about him. And at times it is a mystery, but may we be encouraged in his word and united in love that we would understand this mystery. And so we're going to be, we go to the last, rooted up and built up in him, strengthened in your faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. And so I really just want to create an invitation for us. I've got a song that I want to play that we can just take this and just stand still for a moment. That we could sing and worship and ask ourselves, where are we finding ourselves? Am I still rooted? Am I continuing? Am I being built up? Am I being strengthened in my faith? Am I overflowing with thankfulness? And so may we just stand in front of God just for a moment with a song and respond to this beautiful letter from Paul that God wrote through him for the Colossians, but for us too. And with that, I just want to create an invitation. Paul was talking, the only way to do this is if we are reborn, circumcised from the old life cut off, reborn, received His Spirit, so that we could understand His Word, live in unity with one another, and understand this mystery. And so I've got two invitations, if that's okay, is if you haven't, or unsure, if you haven't been reborn, if you do not have His Spirit, I urge you, while we sing and praise, come to the front and let us pray for you. And the second is if you are at the moment feeling, I'm really not rooted, I'm really not being built up, I'm really being tossed and thrown by all these philosophies and hollow talk that is out there, I'm not finding this hidden treasure that Christ is talking about, then come to the front, we want to pray for you. And so we're going to sing, and if you come to the front, we will be here to pray. After that, we will have communion to declare and acknowledge that Christ, it is because of what you did on the cross that this is possible. And after that, we'll have a coffee and a bread. So Didi, please play that song for us. Let's stand in worship. Please be bold to respond. We'll be here to pray if you want prayer.
Away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. And I'll bring you than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Always has been, always will be. All about you. Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, it's all about you. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the things that we have made it. I'm sorry, Lord, for allowing all the outside influence and not being hidden in you. We want the wisdom and the treasures that you have so that we could live lives according to your kingdom. So that we can bring you pleasure, Lord, so that we would live lives that worship you. It's all about you, Lord, and I pray that we'll understand this mystery. I pray that we as a congregation would hunger for your word and we'd be united in love. That we would be a people not swaying and thrown around, but that we would be sure. Thank you for the finished work of the cross, so that all this can be possible. And Lord, it's a pleasure and it's a privilege to take communion together that we can just remind ourselves of this. We as a congregation just want to declare, Lord, and say that we love you. We love you, Lord. And we want to continue living lives in you. Please help us with that. In Jesus' name.